It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Feckology.
Yes.
All right, so it's Feckology, episode 2. My name's Trainer, and I'm here with the Big Mouse, as always. Even though it's only episode 2, it's soon to be as always. Can you say that?
You can say that, yes. Welcome, everybody, to session 2. Session, Jesus. We're all over the place starting this. I work at a job where we do lots of sessions, and I've had a few sessions today, so that's why I'm saying the word session instead of episode. So I think I'll quickly transition out of that into today's episode 2 of Feckology. This is the podcast about observations that are funny or non-funny, but that's up to the judgment of the listener. It's not up to us, is it?
No, and it's nice not to have to paint yourself into a corner of being funny, because then you cripple yourself. You're not allowed to say cripple anymore, are you? Then you you're handicapped. No, you can't say that either.
Oh, no.
You limit yourself. No, you do something anyway that is basically not for the better of the podcast. You restrict yourself, maybe. We'll go with that. Anyway.
You impede your progress in a sense.
Impede. There you go. Not cripple. So this is episode 2, and we are talking about an odd concept, but just like some of our old podcasts, some of the best things were the most off the wall. This is about being in a pub, or let's say possibly a restaurant, but more often than not, this happens when you're in a pub. And picture the scene, you're sitting there with maybe some of your friends or your wife or your girlfriend, and there's a table beside you of people, and they might have drinks in front of them, coats, bags, paraphernalia that you would have with you while you're in a pub, and they want to go out somewhere. They want to go to the toilet. They want to go onto the dance floor, maybe, and they turn around to you and they say one of the following. Could you watch our bags? Could you watch our coats? Could you mind our coats? Could you watch our drinks? Could you watch those seats? Could you keep an eye on those seats, etc.?
Yes, we were both recently in this exact situation. And I want to add to those requests that it's the look in their eyes. It's like, you'll do that for me, won't you? You'll mind my coat. Yeah, I'm just going off here to do something for about 4 hours. Will you mind my coat there? Will you mind my jacket there? And we had this incident there after our comedy gig last week. And that was a particular incident because it was myself, yourself, and our two partners.
Yes.
Use of that word, very casual use. I'm used to using it.
It fits the bill here, because one is a wife and one is a girlfriend, so partners is appropriate.
It's like going to pretend we're all completely comfortable with words like that. Anyway, that's a complete aside. Back to the point at hand. I've completely lost what I was going to say. Can you say something?
We were in a particular situation where the four of us were sitting there.
Yes, yeah, the four of us sitting there, and we were having the drinks after the gig, and then this guy, slightly thuggish, could we say that?
Thuggish, yeah, he was thuggish.
And I'm trying to emphasize my THs for our American listeners, because since they commented on that, I feel self-conscious about it. So sometimes I'll pronounce them and sometimes I won't. But
like a tug.
Like a thug, yeah, tug. Anyway, they were tugging at our heartstrings. No, they weren't. This guy came over and he said, I think he was English. I think he was foreign.
Oh.
I'll say that. It's irrelevant. He was just a being, a human being. He had no identifying information that would differentiate him from other people. But he was on his own. And there was probably about 4 coats on his table.
Mm.
And he was going off for some undisclosed reason. I think he was going up to the bar, but all his other friends were gone as well. So it was a empty table and chairs with about 4 coats around them, and possibly drinks on there as well.
Yeah. There was bits of drinks and everything going on there.
Mm. So when he made the request to mind the whatever was there, My initial reaction was just, I just clicked into appease mode, I guess. I just kind of went, all right, yeah. Just, I wasn't, didn't think about it, didn't analyze it in any way. But you had quite a different reaction.
So like you're going to agree, right? Because it's probably a social faux pas not to agree. And we'll get to that in a minute. But you're essentially agreeing to, yes, I will mind your unfinished drinks, coats, bags, valuables, and whatever else you might have there. And of course, the seats themselves, and prevent anyone else from sitting in those seats. So I'm going to do five jobs for you here. Complete stranger, and I'm on a night out to relax and enjoy myself, and I'm enjoying a drink, and I think this was my little rant I had, and I'm enjoying a drink here. Like, what? I do not wish to accept any other level of responsibility while I'm out enjoying a drink with my friends, and you've all of a sudden you found yourself agreeing to do a lot more than you had set out to do.
Exactly. Well, I sort of agreed with them. I agreed with them initially, and then you kind of jumped in a bit. You were like, wait, hang on now. Hang on.
Yeah.
So, and then I think you, and then I said, ah, no, it's grand, trainer. Don't worry about it. So I think then you made the decision to not go on with this. But if I wasn't there, you probably would have said something different. Would that be correct?
It was the inclination, and this came, I mean, I've always felt a bit uncomfortable with this responsibility people giving to you when you're on a night out. No one wants it, right? But you're inclined to say yes just to be polite and all that. But I was watching some show on YouTube about people who carry out scams across all sorts of different businesses. And one of the scams which stood out to me was a bloke in a cafe sitting having a coffee, and he has his own belongings with him on the table beside him. He has his own laptop, which is shut, it's closed. And there's another guy working on a laptop, and he gets this phone call or something, and he goes over to the bloke with the closed laptop, minding his own business, and says, and these are all legitimate things that have happened, by the way, and afterwards they tell the person this was a setup, it was a scam. So it's kind of like a candid camera, like comedy show, Beatles About, except it's more serious in that they're kind of pulling off heists or scams, and they're kind of showing the viewer how easy this is to do. And if I remember the name of the show, I'll put it in post, as they say. But basically, this guy was like, hi, I have to pop outside, can you keep an eye on my laptop? And your man was like, of course, yeah. And then your mom's gone for ages, and all of a sudden these two people, tugs, come in and they try to steal the laptop. And this person was like, oh shit, I've just offered to watch this man's laptop. So he gets up to apprehend the two people who are trying to steal the laptop, and they kind of back off. But unbeknownst to him, there's a person sitting in the cafe, female, who walks over and steals his own laptop from the table and walks out casually right in front of him, well, right behind his back, as he's trying to apprehend the two people who are stealing the laptop that he has been assigned to look after. So when he sits back down, he realizes he did apprehend the two people and did his duty and watched the laptop, but he, in fact, has lost his own laptop now as a result. Wow. So
that's like a parable.
Yeah, exactly. It triggered me in a way where I was thinking, like, this is the kind of thing you're accepting responsibility for. And then you're like, what are the responsibilities? So in that situation we were in, can you watch our bags? Can you watch our seats? You know, there's drinks involved as well. So like, what's the statute of limitations on a request like this? How long do you have to agree to do this for? What, let's say they're gone outside the building for 30 minutes, you know, 45 minutes. It's getting close to pub closing time. Or they've just disappeared. They're nowhere to be seen. Are you supposed to then go look for them? Do you assign responsibility of washing the table to somebody else and leave them with the problem? And then you're also kind of thinking to yourself, like, what are the repercussions here? Like, what if I agree to watch your stuff and then I don't actually watch it? Because I've certainly in the past agreed to watch somebody's table and then you completely forget that you've said you were going to do it. So even when you say yes, do you actually even do it?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that was going through my mind unconsciously at the time. I knew I wasn't going to do that. And I guess that's not fair on him, or it's not fair on me. It's not fair on anyone. It's a bit disingenuous to say I'll mind them. But realistically, I'm just getting myself out of the conversation with him. And I'm thinking deep down that he shouldn't be asking me that. And if anything happens to the table on my watch, then it's on him. Because he can't seriously be expecting me to monitor it with like a high degree of surveillance.
Exactly.
So the whole thing is a sham. I think
it is a sham. And you know what it is? It's the person who's leaving their stuff behind, who can't be arse bringing it with them, or in some cases doesn't want to lose their seat. And I can understand that in a busy pub. It's them wanting to appease their own mind and their own conscience to think, ah, sure, I have somebody looking after that for me now, so nothing will happen to it. So I can fuck off now and do whatever the hell it is I'm doing here. And the person who I've assigned to do it will look after it for me. But I think deep down, they really know that you're not going to, as you said, surveil the situation there. Are you supposed to not pay attention to the people you're with and just watch and see if anyone's going to take the seats?
And we wouldn't know if it was a friend that would come over and took a coat or a drink. Would we have to interrupt like each time, like someone that's not the guy who asked comes over? Are you
exactly?
We look like weirdos then.
Of course we would. And inevitably it would be a friend and they'd be like, sorry? And you'd look like a freak. But if exactly, like, so what are you supposed to say if somebody really casually comes over and starts drinking a pint and takes a coat away from the chair? Hold on, what's your relationship to the person that a gentleman asked me now a few minutes ago and he asked me to look after the table? What's your relationship to this person? Where are you sitting here? I didn't see you sitting here.
And you've suddenly taken on this ridiculous, unrealistic job. You're a security guard, bouncer, basically, for the whole table.
Yeah. Do you intervene verbally? Let's say there was a laptop involved. Do you intervene physically? Are you going to put yourself in danger?
You contracted to watch over the table. Yeah. If there is a robbery and you know it's a robbery, what are you going to do? You're going to, right, I give my honor. I'm a man of my word. I'm never going to break my word. I'm going to stand up and physically restrain this this other thug.
And then, in turn, you'd actually be breaking the law yourself because you've absolutely no jurisdiction to go and put your hands physically on another human being or apprehend them in any way, really. Make a citizen's arrest. Does that even exist in real life or is it just something on telly? Who knows?
It adds an extra layer to the shamness of this, doesn't it? Because you're actually powerless to intervene, really, unless you take your role really, really seriously. And I'm really going to seriously watch over this table and chairs. On my watch, nobody's going to take a coat. And I'll go out of here dead before someone takes a coat from
out of my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
But then, the other thing is, right, is what if you say no? So I don't know if I've ever actually said no. I was probably about to say no the night we were there. And then you probably used your better judgment and you overruled that, which is probably the correct thing to do. But one of these days, somebody will catch me at a particular time and I will say no. I'll get back to you with how that goes. But the temptation would be there, especially watching that show with the laptop situation and all that, the temptation would be there to say no. No, actually, I'd rather not. I'd rather not have that responsibility. But then you know that would make you look kind of insane if you were to do something like that.
I think it was when you were saying, basically, you were beginning to say no to him. You're saying, hold on a minute there. And what do you want to say? You were beginning to question him. And I could see that's where you were going. And I think I felt it was uncomfortable. I agreed with your point of view, but I just didn't know what would happen. I don't know what the social norm for something like that is. When someone asks you to mind a coat and you say no.
No, no.
And he's a thug. So that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Do report back when you do it again. Yeah.
I'll see what happens. I suppose it was probably a bit of, I'd had a few drinks as well, and it was kind of like, no. I saw this on telly once where somebody rolled a laptop, so no, I'm not doing it.
You'd have to sit down and explain that laptop parable to him. By the way, you explained that very well. That was a very difficult thing to explain. The laptop situation.
I'm sure I got some of the facts wrong, I'm sure, but if I do find a video, I'll link it in the episode actually, so people can see what I'm talking about.
You can't sit down and explain that because it's a multifaceted parable. You can't explain that to him.
Yeah.
And if you can't explain something like that to him, you come across as a douche, as they say. Do they say that anywhere? A douche?
I don't know. I don't know if I ever said it really.
I think it's an American one. I'm thinking of our American listeners again.
Yes.
Texas. Steve from Texas. And
I doubt he's listening.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
So anyway, that's kind of probably a short and sweet one. But the real question is, what happens if you say no? Is that mental if you say no? What are your thoughts, listener? What do you think about this? Would that make you feel uncomfortable? I assume most people have been in this situation. How do you react? Do you actually watch the thing you've been asked to watch when asked? How long do you think is a reasonable amount of time to be expected to watch it? Let us know what you think about those ridiculous questions about a nonsensical situation.
But it's actually very important as well, because sometimes you have to say no. I was thinking for this episode about other areas in my life where people ask favors of me and I feel uncomfortable. And I think I'm in a time in my life where I'm actually asking for more favors from others, because we have a young son, and we get, like, he gets minded by grandparents and stuff like that. So I'm often asking for favors in that way. One thing that comes up sometimes is being asked to do things I don't want to do is in work, when it's somebody who isn't your boss starts delegating tasks to you. I find that really irritating, especially as I get older. And actually, I find it offensive almost, even if it's a perfectly reasonable favor ask. It's just that they're assuming the responsibility to delegate me a task.
And would this be somebody who's at the same level of seniority as you in the job?
Yes.
As in, are you your peers, basically?
Yes. They'd say, would you send that email there? Maybe you do that. You get onto him and arrange that meeting now, won't you? Yeah. Yeah, you do that. That type of thing.
And
I'm seething. It's like you in the pub to that guy. I'm about to say no. And then I'm about to go into my laptop story. Or my
no, I won't send a fucking email. Because I saw a program once where somebody was asked to send an email. Yeah. Do you know what the problem as well, though, with something like that is? I wouldn't mind be seething now. I know, and I know you're only exaggerating there, but the issue with that is, if somebody's asking you to send an email that they could just as easily send themselves, there's obviously some reason why they're not doing it. And I would be suspicious that it's because they don't expect a straightforward answer and it's going to be a bit messy and they don't want to have to deal with that. And they're acting all like, oh yeah, it's just a piece of piss. And then I would be in my head at the same time as like, well, why don't you do it then if it's such a straightforward little task?
Yeah, exactly. Because the task itself only takes 30 seconds for them to do. So I think even in this example I'm thinking of, the person who asked me had a kind of a colored history with the recipient of the email. So maybe they're in some way they're trying to minimize their interactions with this person. So what you're saying, spot on there. So maybe I'll pause next time and say, what's this about?
Yeah, ask a few follow-up questions.
Yeah. Why couldn't you do it yourself?
And I suppose that's what you should do with the, can you watch my table? You're like, where are you going?
Yes.
How long do you intend to take?
That's it. Maybe some clarifying questions.
What do you expect of me? Really? What do you expect of me here?
Yeah. What's okay and what's not okay? What do I do if someone comes over and steals your stuff? What do you expect me to do? Expect me to physically restrain them, etc.?
By that time, you would probably either bore them to death or scared them off to the point where they'll probably just take their own shit anyway. And
yeah.
Won't ask you to watch anything. So,
and just to finish off, the thug gave me a really earnest look in my eye, and a sort of a thumbs up or gang gesture.
Oh, I'm
gonna
say
gang gesture because it's funnier. And no, he no, there's nothing on his background or ethnicity, but it's that kind of thug vernacular.
I know what you mean. Yeah, on the level,
level.
Can you watch that for me, bro?
Oh, yeah. Bro is another thing. Maybe that's for another episode. Everyone's bro and man these days.
Oh, Jesus, I know. It's a bro epidemic.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it, bro, for today. Man has talked enough.
From one bro to another.
Correct. Well, very nicely done. I enjoyed that topic for Feckology. And trainer, this week, do you have any final words for the listener?
My final words are, when people ask you something that is seemingly innocuous, maybe think twice before you agree to it. And think, what are you really being asked here?
Very good.
We don't really have a sign-off for this, do we?
No. Will we leave that bit in?
Leave that bit in. Okay, right. We'll see you next time on Feckology. I've been Trainer. He's been the Big Mouse. And we look forward to hearing your feedback to those questions. So let us know what you think.
Keep feckanologizing. No, don't put that bit in. Leave that bit out. Right. Hey!
It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Feckology.